A very good afternoon and welcome to the second hour of The Edge, which of course means we're talking all about books. And it's a great pleasure to welcome the original book guru, Matthew Cowdrey, who is the Middle East Sales Manager for Hachette. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good to have you back in the studio.
Kind introduction.
My pleasure.
Nice to be back.
What have you got for us this week? Lots of book reviews.
Yeah,
well, interview coming up as well, haven't we?
Yeah, we've got a couple of quite different books to start the hour, and then in the second half of the show we're going to be talking to Jake Arnott. So the first book is Anthony Beaver's Second World War, probably the big long-awaited history book of the year. Then I've got a book called The Guilty One, which is a great summer reading recommendation by a debut female author called Lisa Ballantyne. They actually reviewed it on the Saturday show, if anyone was listening to that, so just really to kind of back that up, because it's a fantastic read. And then in that final half hour, we're going to talk to Jake Arnott about his new novel, The House of Rumour. Jake, of course, most well known for The Long Firm, one of the most sort of critically well-received crime novels from the UK over the last sort of 10 or 20 years. But this is a real breakaway book, a sort of sprawling, almost in alternative history of the 20th century. Certainly lots of the secret histories and kind of alternative histories that happened during that century.
And you enjoyed that? Did you just finish reading that?
I finished it about a week ago, and I absolutely loved it. It's a very, very difficult book to describe, and it would be amazing to talk to Jake about it and the ideas behind it, because it really does. It follows lots of characters, lots and lots of different topics, but just brings in all sorts of areas of history that you just weren't aware of. And I found myself spending as much time online on Wikipedia or whatever during the reading of the book, because there were so many things that you're sort of vaguely aware of, but reading the book just sparks an interest in them and you want to find out more. And it's one of those novels that just sends you off in all sorts of different directions. And then finally, just a quick mention, which we'll talk about briefly, is the release of the cover for The Casual Vacancy, which is J.K.
Rowling's
much anticipated first adult novel, which comes out in September.
I'm really looking forward to that, actually.
I think it'd be great. And, you know, just, I mean, there's so many reasons. Hopefully it'll just be a really good book, but it'll be interesting to see what she's like as an adult novelist. We, funnily enough, just coincidentally started working our way through the Harry Potter movies as sort of something to do on these hot summer evenings. And, you know, they really do remind you what an amazing storyteller she is. I watched the first one, Philosopher's Stone, just last night, and it's just how clever she is at capturing all those things that as a child are just fascinating. You know, Hogwarts Express and Diagon Alley and Platform 9 3/4 and all those things, and just Hogwarts as a school, you know, it's just everything that as a child you imagine the best of, I suppose, the old-fashioned British public school system to be, but with magic. Hooray. And she's just an amazing storyteller, very, very good at capturing, I think, that capture people's imagination, I suppose. So it'll be fascinating to see in The Casual Vacancy, a very different book, what she's done. We've only really got the synopsis.
Do we know what it's... Yeah, tell us, what's it supposed to be about?
Well, so we start about that. If you're interested in seeing the jacket, first off, the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature have uploaded it onto their Facebook page. So if you're online at the moment, have a look. It's a very interesting retro jacket, which fits in with the story. In some ways, it's quite a traditional English novel. It starts off with Barry Fairbrother, who dies in his early 40s, and the whole town of Padgford, where it's set, is left in shock. It seems to be a sort of idyllic English town. You know, nothing could possibly go wrong. The high street, the bakers, small community that gets on very well. But the death of Barry Fairbrother, who is one of the town councillors, just opens up all the kind of fractures and problems that are beneath the surface. And it becomes clear that it's a town at war, basically. It's rich against poor, it's teenagers against their parents, it's wives against their husbands, teachers against pupils, everything, you know, beneath the surface there are all those conflicts, which I suppose exist in any town, but are so often just hidden away. And I think through that medium, what she's trying to do is there's that universal theme of small communities and how they kind of rub along until something happens which exposes these fissures.
Make a crack, don't they, in this sort of shiny veneer.
And then obviously more specific things about, you know, about Britain, but also about the gap between the rich and the poor, which is getting wider in the modern world. And I just think it's a very interesting idea for a book, because it's a very, very small canvas upon which he's trying to basically explore some very universal themes. So we've got her traditional skills, I suppose, about focusing in on a small canvas. So again, Hogwarts, a school that was described so well through those books that, you know, they've been able to build it literally at a theme park in the UK. And she's done that again with a small community. But at the same time, as in the Harry Potter books, she took those to, you know, to describe this kind of war between good and evil, and a lot of the kind of universal themes from fantasy and children's literature. And again, in this book, she's using this small canvas to describe a lot of quite universal themes about, you know, greed and power and all those things which, you know, happen on global scales, happen on national scales, but they happen on a very local scale within families and within small communities. So, yeah, I'm just really looking forward to it. It'll be fascinating to see how it comes across. But
so
as
September,
I say,
is the release, the launch date?
27th of September. Okay. It will be 11 o'clock in the morning in the UAE. It's 8 o'clock in the morning in the UK, and obviously British summertime at the moment. So that's 11 o'clock here, and it will be to the minute, because it's such a long anticipated, like the Harry Potter books, a long anticipated release.
The cover, quite amazing, I think, for her to have sort of made a transformation. Well, we'll see anyway. I was sort of
whether it is successful
or not. But, you know, to make that transformation from being a children's sort of, well, we said children's writer, wouldn't you, to sort of adult fiction.
Yeah, definitely a children's writer. I mean, you remember Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone was, you know, it's a couple hundred pages. It's probably, I don't know, 12-year-olds would maybe be your absolutely ideal age range, but read by people right up to adulthood and, you know, and good readers of a younger age. So definitely a children's writer. So it is a big leap. Leap to a new publisher, leap to a new editor. You know, she's going to get absolutely pilloried if the book isn't brilliant. So she's got to make it absolutely.
So she's gone to a new publisher.
Gone to a new publisher.
She may have published it herself.
Well, she could have done, but I think the story is that she wanted to challenge herself with somebody who would really say to her if, you know, the writing wasn't up to standard.
Yeah.
So she left Bloomsbury, who she'd been with before, and picked a whole, well, three or four well-known publishers who she thought she could work with, met them. But I think the first guy she met, she basically thought, this is the man for me. You know, a well-known editor who's worked with a lot of other well-known writers. And she thought, you know, this is a guy I can work with, keep me on the straight and narrow, make sure the book is great. So you've got to admire her for that, because it's a fairly daunting challenge. And as I say, the cover is what's prompted a lot of the renewed interest in it. It's very retro. It's a kind of 50s style... a bit like the Agatha Christie's that came out of that period.
Yes, that kind of what came to mind.
And very bold colours, a yellow on red, which I suppose is a colour scheme that a lot of people find a bit challenging. But I think will stand out certainly in the bookshops, if nothing else. So as I say, Emirates Airline Festival of Literature, have a look online on their Facebook page. You can have a look at the cover on there. And if you have a thought on it, please do text in on 4001. Tell us if you like it, if you don't like it. A lot of people...
Does it matter?
Exactly. It's the same cover on both sides of the Atlantic as well, which is interesting. You know, Barnes & Noble, Waterstones, a lot of the big chains have posted the cover, and, you know, big debates going back and forth on Facebook pages and Twitter about whether they like it or not. It's got a cross on the front, which I think a lot of people have been confused by, but I think that signifies the fact that one of the things is that Barry Fairbrother, this character, was a councilman. He's died, so presumably there'll be some kind of election to replace him, which is what prompts all this kind of outpouring of secrets within Padgett.
Well, I'm intrigued. I mean, I've never read any of the Harry Potters, I must say. Have you?
I read book one, and then I have to say I listened to most of the others on audio because they're read by Stephen Fry.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
But they're unabridged, so you do get the complete book, and it's like having Stephen Fry reading your bedtime story. Brilliant. But they're great. I mean, they really are great. And, you know, I like most people. I like old castles and trains and all the things that she captures so brilliantly in those books. And Harry's a great character. And again, watching that film, actually, I have to say, Daniel Radford, I think people, you know, in some of the later films, he can be a bit kind of wooden, but you kind of, he is Harry Potter, so you accept it. But in that first film, he really was a great choice as a child actor. He really captures that sense of kind of innocence and bewilderment for this young orphan who's just revealed to be a wizard. So anyway.
I look forward to that then. That's another book for the list, I think. Definitely for September. That's the latest J.K. Rowling adult fiction, which is due to come out. We have about 2 minutes if you want to maybe just introduce what we're going to talk about next.
Well, our first, and what was supposed to be our first review, is The Second World War by Anthony Beaver. So what we'll do is quickly do the competition. We've got a copy of that to give away. A really beautifully produced, you know, thumping sort of £25 UK hardback complete history of the Second World War. Of course, Anthony Beaver, most well known for his previous book on a well-known battle on the Eastern Front. So our question for you is, just text in on 4001 the name of the town about which, or city about which, Anthony Beaver wrote in his, I suppose, his breakthrough book. He'd written a couple of history books before that, but his absolutely huge selling Second World War history book, named after a Soviet town on the Eastern Front, which was the site of a huge siege. Now, it's a quite tough question, because this is a really big, lovely prize, a beautiful book. But I'm sure lots of people will know it. I think it's probably the best-selling book on the Second World War.
Really?
Certainly for the last 10 or 15 years. So,
okay. If you think you know the answer, text in 4001. As Matt said, please do put your name on all of those messages. We'll keep the competition open until the end of the programme. We're going to go to our first break of the second hour. Do stay with us, and why not let us know what you are reading at the moment? We'd love to hear from you. Any great reading recommendations? Let us know. What are you reading? We'll be back after this.